Hello, is it still there?
No, it's better.
Okay, good.
It's almost like you had a static charge or something,
Yeah,
Like you're
maybe.
dragging your socks across the carpet and
Right. But anyhow, the kids had a good time. What we found is, and I mean, it was really cool. We had a bunch of neighbors that we know, like, I wouldn't say we're friends or anything, but we know them. They know the kids and stuff. Instead of them going to their house, they came throughout the day. We had about three or four times that somebody came knocking on the door, and it was one of our neighbors giving them a bunch of candy. So my kids have never had this much candy before in any Halloween. It was insane.
Well, that's good. That's another way to attack it, on your own terms as a parent.
Yep. Yeah, the neighbor two doors down, they gave them to share, but still, like, think of the big bucket of popcorn, that size bucket of candy.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh
You guys are going to be all strung up on sugar like during the course of the work week.
you are not kidding. It was crazy, but the weather, I don't know how the weather was in your area, but it was cool, like 40s, but no rain. It wasn't damp. It was very dry, so it felt comfortable to walk around.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I didn't go walking around in the cold, but we have our Ring doorbell, so we know what was going on.
Yeah.
And most of the neighbor kids, they'd take a handful, which is what we wanted, take four or five,
Yes.
six candies. And then like around 8:30, you get like some guy that's like 6 foot 2 and two 5 foot dudes come and they just take the whole thing.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's when it kind of gets dangerous too, because you don't know who these people are,
Yes, absolutely.
Who trick or treats? And they don't wear costumes either. They
No, they just come come and
come,
grab candy.
yeah.
We didn't see any of that this year. When we took the kids around for the longest time, we were the only ones. But it starts at around 6 o'clock in our neighborhood, so
Yeah.
we went out like right at 6 o'clock,
I
and
th
we were the only ones out there for about 20 minutes before we saw another group.
Yeah. 6 o'clock is when we put the candy out because it's dark enough, or it's starting to get dusk.
Yeah.
And we only had like four, five groups of kids, and then the teenagers. But
Some
I think going forward, like. Even once we're past the COVID, I think we're going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Even if I have to buy an extra bag of candy for the assholes. Because it is so convenient to not have to get up. I mean, as a person that doesn't have kids and stuff, to not
Yes.
have to get up every 10 minutes.
100%.
And
No,
you can't watch anything, you can't really get
you can't do anything
comfortable.
until around 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
I totally don't blame you. Like, I mean, that was always before kids, that was always like Stacy's job.
Yeah.
And I'd sit in the back of the house, and like you said, I'd sit there and start watching some scary movies or something like that when
Yeah.
she's out there answering the door.
Well, it's scary. One of my fears is home invasion. So I always have that in the back of my mind during Halloween. Like you answer the door and it's just like they push through, like because what was that movie called? The Strangers? Like movies like that.
Yeah, well, not the, I guess the Purge isn't the same way, but it's similar. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, The Purge is kind of like that, but not. I mean, it's home invasion, but it's like legalized home invasion.
Right.
It's like you're on your own. We have a high population center. This is a way to reduce the population. We don't care what happens, but law will return tomorrow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it was fun. We had a good time.
Yeah, you had a good costume. I
Isn't
thought
that
you
great?
were a great Jay Garrick.
Thank you. You know what I did is that I don't know if you remembered, but in previews a while back, about 6 months ago, maybe a little longer, they offered that long sleeve Jay Garrick shirt.
Yeah,
I
graffiti
bought it,
designs, yeah.
and like, if I can find a helmet, this would be a super easy costume.
Yeah, where'd you find the helmet?
Only place that I could find it anywhere was on eBay, and
Yeah.
I was really nervous because I ordered it at like the tail end of September,
Yeah.
and it was from China.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm like, is this even going to arrive in time? But it got
Yeah.
here actually super fast. And but Mike, I don't know what that thing is made of, but it weighs like 10 pounds.
Wow.
It's sitting on the top of my head. It is not light at all.
I don't think you're gonna be running any faster with that on your
No.
head.
I actually got a little washcloth and I folded it up and put it on the top of my head for a little extra cushioning.
Yeah.
Because, man, that thing was heavy.
Well, I saw on Facebook the costumes. You all look great. The
Thanks.
only one
Yeah.
I couldn't get was Zach's. Like I was like,
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
He
But
was
I'm
just
so
he
I
was
am
just an
so out of.
executioner.
Yeah, I don't. Is that a video game?
Nope. It was just a scary costume that we saw at the spirit store. And he thought it was cool. We tried to
It
say, like,
does
maybe we get
look
stuff that's
cool
a
because it
superhero.
looks like some kind of flaming demon.
Yeah.
Actually, I told Barb, I think it's a Jawa on fire.
He looked, I told him a couple times, I'm like, when you just glance, you look like a Jawa, and he's just laughing. But those eyes fade in and out. So it's really got a cool, creepy effect.
Yeah. It was a good costume. I just didn't know what it was. Usually well, I don't know any like video game properties unless it has like some kind of tie-in to a comic book. In other words, if I see it in previews, then I'll start recognizing it.
Yeah, oh yeah, sure.
But if I don't see it in previews and it's a video game or role playing, I don't know what it is because I just don't participate.
No, yeah, I mean, yeah,
But with
I mean,
kids, I imagine
talked
you
about
would
video games
because
before, and it
you
was
turn it
like,
on to Cartoon Network and there's all this new stuff.
yep, that's exactly it.
Or Disney Plus or any of that stuff. The
So, what did you
Mandalorian's
watch
back.
on Halloween? Did
Did
you
you?
watch anything?
I watched The Mandalorian.
Cool. I haven't we haven't watched it yet. Probably watch it tonight or
Yeah,
tomorrow.
it was really good. And we're caught up on Discovery and Fear the Walking Dead, which I think has been really good this year.
I don't watch Fear the Walking Dead. I have tried out that new one. I've watched the first couple episodes of that.
How's that? I have them taped. I haven't watched it.
Okay. I mean, I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I think it's pretty interesting. It's
Yeah.
from a point of view where it's like farther into the apocalypse, where like all these teenagers, they were very small children when it happened. So this is kind of the only world that they've ever known.
Yeah. Have you watched Fear the Walking Dead or did you drop
The
off a
first,
while back?
yeah, only the first season.
Oh,
And
okay.
then at that point, there was just too much. I think there was too many shows to watch. We just dropped away from it.
Yeah. Well, I saw you were watching the house on the Hill House again.
Oh yeah, well, we watched the finale last night. We're all done. That's my third time watching it.
I
The
haven't
second.
even finished the first.
You don't really like it that much, huh?
No, I just when I watch TV with Barb,
Yeah.
and it's usually what we record on the DVR, and the stuff that I watch on streaming is usually stuff that I don't know that I need to be moving to, like
Yep.
on an elliptical, and I didn't find that one a good one to move to. Like I started Lock and Key, and I was in the same boat, and then towards the end of Lock and Key, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm into this now. Like
Okay.
I'm feeling it. So yeah, I have to have something that I can move to.
No, and I can definitely from watching that a few times. Yeah, I that's not a show that like if you said, give me a show to watch that I can move to for an elliptical. I would never suggest that show.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to pick it. I
Yeah.
did see a Halloween movie. I saw Hubie Halloween.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, but I'm
I
an
don't think
Adams.
they'll work this out.
I am an unapologetic Adam Sandler fan. Like I like his goofiness. I like even when he's in serious movies. I am a fan, and I was very pleased with this one because it took his usually ridiculous stuff like Little Nicky, and then combined it with Halloween. And I always like seeing. He's one of those guys that say I like working with these actors, and
Yeah,
Steve Buscemi shows up, and Robert Liotta,
cool.
and then his usual cast and crew. Like you'll see some Happy Gilmore characters and some characters that were in the Grown Ups movies,
Yeah.
and I just like it. It has like this like I don't have to think at all, and I can just sit back and just chill and enjoy.
Oh yeah, I can. My friend that saw it, she thought it was good too.
Yeah.
She enjoyed it, and I haven't had gotten around. We were watching, like you said, that Hell House. We were watching that every night, and then sometimes we'd have time for another show, but a lot of times we were just exhausted and we're going to bed.
Have you did Lock and Key yet?
No, Stacy during work while she was doing like a monotonous task, she threw it on her iPad and
Yeah.
she started watching, and then she told me, she's like, "Is this one that you're gonna want to watch?" I go, "Yes, it's on my list." She goes, "Okay, I'm not gonna keep
Yeah.
watching. Watch it together."
It's one of
Okay.
those ones that like it didn't really hit me until because I think the comic book was more effective, like getting you in on that first issue, and then the first episode didn't really like punch you in the face until the last quarter. Like it was like, okay, this shit's getting real.
See, I wonder what I'm going to think, because I don't know why, because it's normally right up my alley. I could not get into the comic book. I bought
Well,
the first
it's a
volume and I just
combination,
can't get into it.
which is weird because you like
Yeah.
D&D and you like horror, so
I love
in
horror.
my opinion, Lock and Key is sort of like fantasy,
Yeah.
like Narnia fantasy and horror mixed.
It
And
seems like it'd be right up my alley. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to try it again at some point. Maybe I just wasn't in the mood for it or
yeah,
whatever.
that's what reading alphabetically will do to you. That
I didn't read that alphabet.
I would
Come
like
on
a lot less comic books if I
now.
had to read alphabetically or read from a stack.
You should see my stack.
I'm
I got.
happy. Well, I'm happy reading when I feel like it. I don't feel any pressure either. And most podcasts that I listen to don't really spoil stuff.
Yeah.
And if they do, by the time that I do get to it, I don't remember. Like, I don't remember what they said.
Watched a movie. I fell asleep on Friday, so I watched the rest last night. I've never seen it before. Scanners. Have you seen
Oh
that?
yeah, no, I haven't.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I liked it. I wouldn't call it like a straight out horror. It's more like a more
Sci-fi
sci-fi than
horror,
like,
yeah.
yeah, actually horror. There wasn't anything really horror about it. It was just a kind of a, like a tele like people that are born that can like read minds and control things and
Yeah.
stuff like that. So it was cool, but definitely not, I wouldn't say horror.
We watched Borat.
How was
The
that? I haven't seen
new
it.
Oh, we loved it.
How's Rudy?
It is really good, and I at least for me, what sells it is the actress that plays Borat's daughter.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
yeah, I think the humor is very like if you're a Trump fan, you don't want to watch this
Right.
because they invade Giuliani, they invade Mike Pence, they do
Well, they
stuff
did
with
Mike
Donald
Pence,
Trump.
too.
Yeah, it was real too. They kicked him out, like he was in the news when it happened.
Oh, I didn't hear. So was Rudy just putting his tucking his shirt back in? Is that what Rudy was doing?
What
That's
was
what he
that?
said. Rudy Giuliani said that he was just tucking his shirt back in.
It could have been, but it was still inappropriate. Like The whole scene was inappropriate.
Yes. I saw the little that from the
Because there was
interviews
a
and
lot
stuff.
of like touching and stuff, and it wasn't.
Oh yeah.
But it
Oh yeah,
wasn't.
she was flirting with him on purpose
She was
and
flirting with him on purpose,
he was
which
eating that up.
he flirted back though. Like
Oh,
it
100%.
was a setup flirt. I
Yeah,
mean, you knew it right off the bat. But he was eating it up and he was falling for it. Yeah, and they did one really dangerous one where we were seeing a clip after the thing when he did a late night talk show, and I was like, this fucker's gonna get himself killed. And
Bro, that's not fun.
he went to like a white supremacy type rally where there were like flags and all kinds of crap, and the audience members had like automatic weapons inside.
Yeah.
And he went up there as like a farmer type guy, and he started singing like a song about like killing Hillary and all this stuff, you know.
God.
And he was making fun of it, and everybody was singing along with it. And then some guy from the audience said, "You're being filmed, and this—they're making fun of us." And then
Oh.
they charged the stage, and he literally had to run off. And then they showed like on the talk show, they showed like when he was in his, he got safely in his like van or whatever it was, his mobile unit, and they were like rocking it trying to get in.
You know what? That's, you can't play with that stuff nowadays.
Well, I know they were just the Biden-Harris campaign was just driving in Texas, and I
I
don't
was
know
just
if you
going to ask
saw
you if you heard that. Ask,
that's
that's
some
exactly
fucked up
it.
shit, man.
They had to cancel a stop.
Yeah, this is some fucked up shit. I what
Where do
kind
you
this
live?
is what kind of shit is this?
That's crazy.
I just hope, I mean, my worst horror, we're talking about horror, is that he wins another term.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a world with him,
For four more years.
Joe Idiot, leading the country again. I just can't believe that we've gotten here. Like it's like something out of Idiocracy. Like, how does it happen? Like, we read comics all the time that take like the ridiculous and show it. And you're like, oh, that'll never happen, but it's entertaining. And then you
Yeah.
see it in real life, and you're like, holy shit.
But somehow this happened
Yeah,
in real
that's
life.
crazy.
I don't get it. I really don't. It's scary as hell. It's like I can't think of a worse human being to be the
Yeah.
president of the United I don't like even set aside politics for a second. He's just a horrible human being.
Yeah, and that anybody likes him is beyond me. Like, I don't even see how they could like him.
Right.
Because he doesn't give a shit about those people. Like, he doesn't give two shits about making their lives better, and they just
He
can't see it.
cares about Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's all he cares about.
I mean, if it came down to it and something came up where he had to sacrifice, let's say, Don Jr. in order for him to get off, for himself to get off, he would do it in a second.
Oh yeah, he would. I wouldn't want to be his kid, that's for sure. I can't imagine growing up as his kid. Like
Oh
he,
God.
'cause he's got like no emotional, like it's all about me, me, me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that just knowing your mentality that you guys would enjoy the Borat
I
thing.
bet you we would. I liked the first one. That
Yeah,
was a
then
lot of
oh
fun.
you'll really like this one then.
All right, we'll have to watch
Yeah.
this one. Or, yeah.
It's all
I
it's all about that. Like it's all about that.
Hopefully, if things go well during in the next few days with election, we can sit down and watch that
And
and be in a
laugh.
great mood.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it will hold its weight if he wins again. Like it,
No, I'd be
it'll
doing a
be like, oh
Broadway.
my God.
Yeah, but that's—I mean—that's the thing is that you just can't. I think for the first time in a long time, or maybe ever, it's just so hard to understand the other side's perspective. Like you said, if it's
Yeah.
somebody like, yeah, I love him, I think he's great.
Well,
Like, I don't understand what they're looking at. They're not. I don't see what they're seeing.
yeah, well, there was an interesting thing in the Borat thing with that I found fascinating is that Borat looks like Middle Eastern. I mean, he just does. And this was being filmed during the quarantine, like when the virus was breaking out. And he actually hooked up with these two dudes, those QAnon guys, you know, like they're very strange dudes. But the thing that I found absolutely fascinating about them and their conspiracies and all this stuff was that they let him into the house. They knew he had a film crew, like, because they came with them and stuff, but they let him in and they were sort of open. Like they did not treat him any differently or anything, you know? And I don't think they knew who Borat was. They just knew that he was a guy filming something. And that part was kind of fascinating because they sort of formed a friendship. Like this weird, at some weird level, I don't know, it was just really bizarre. And 'cause Borat played like, well, I'm not from here and I don't know about this virus and what's going on. And he says, can I come be with you for a couple of days? 'Cause I don't know where to go. I have nowhere to go. And they let him in. And I'm like, wow.
So they
I
were
wouldn't have think
accepting of
these,
him after all.
I would not have thought that these two guys would have done that. In other words, because of his look and his accent and stuff. But they did.
That's
Which I
interesting.
found more fascinating, like just on another level.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Few more days. I don't know when we'll find out what the results are though of the election. Like,
Yeah. Well, you got a box from Joe. I want to know what was in it.
you want to know what I got from Joseph?
Yeah. Joe
So,
Crawford.
I'm going to tell you right now that this episode is going to be dedicated to Joe because I picked three books out of what he sent me to cover today.
I picked two.
You did a good day,
I didn't
though.
pick three. I picked two out of the three.
Awesome.
Because before I knew Joe's was coming in, I went to the comic shop and bought some back issues. So
So we'll have to
Joe's
just
came
tape
in
this one tomorrow.
fast. I mean, he shipped it fast.
Super fast, right?
Yeah.
So, I've got he gave me a bunch of later, very late era Valiant into the actual Acclaim.
Yeah, that's all good stuff. I like it.
I've read some of like some of the stuff that I already own. I've read and I mean it's just I could see probably at the time maybe being aggravated or whatever because it's not like it's totally different concepts. But like in retrospect, I didn't read it at the time. So now reading it over the past few years, it's just like fascinating stuff.
Yeah, you know what really stood out is what I think is the sand Shadow Man,
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
because it went to new levels of dark. I mean, and Ashley Wood art and all kind, it just looked crazy dark. And then the Dead
Oh, nice.
Side, like they had the Dead Side and they became more of an arcade version. And that they switched characters from Jack Boniface because they killed him early on and they
Didn't they
turned
kill
him.
him off screen, like at the very
Yeah,
beginning of the series?
he was murdered. Like he was like beat to shit. Like everything was broken on his body. And it opens up in a coroner, like they're doing an autopsy and his whole body is just, they beat the crap out of him. And Zero is the new guy, and guy, I liked him. He really clicked with me.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah, he gave me a bunch of that. He gave me Route the entire series of Route 66,
Oh, that's so
which I
good.
had
That's
never
horror.
read it before.
Cross-gen.
Yep. So that was really cool. Another one I've never heard of before, which kind of, well, I mean, I guess I'm not that surprised, but Big Bang Comics by Image.
Oh, that's the one I wanted, and you swiped it from me.
I did?
Yeah, it was, he posted it, and it was like Big Bang, and I'm like, oh shit, Rob got it. No, because I
Sorry
don't
about that.
own that.
Yeah, he gave me a bunch of those.
That's public domain characters. That's like right up my alley, and
That's what I was wondering.
I
It
did
looked
not
what does
jump
it look
in
like?
on that, yeah, early on, but I want it now.
He gave me some Concrete, which I've never read.
Yeah, I've never read Concrete.
And then those Baker Street
Yeah,
that's
that I
really
bought
cool.
from my comic shop. That's good.
Yeah, and then
Did he give you
Amber
a
Blake.
full run of Baker Street or no?
It's too thick, not super thick, but too
Trades?
like trades, yeah. So
Oh,
I don't know.
okay. I was getting the singles, and
Okay.
I'm still having trouble finding two of them.
Yeah,
So,
so I don't know like how many that ran or whatever, if it's the whole
yeah.
thing or what, but yeah. And then what else did he get? About 4 or 5 issues of The Creeps. So that was cool because I only started picking that up recently. So these were a little
Yeah,
bit.
the lawsuit, man, is crazy.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it went this long without them doing it.
Right.
I thought it was with permission because they were so closely tied. Like, it went from creepy to creeps, and then it had the host,
Yep.
and instead of Warren, it was Warrant. And I'm like, wow, that's close.
And that thing that you posted, it's like that whoever's suing like bought the rights to Warren like in 2006. So it's not like they just bought it.
Yeah, sounds like that Rev guy, but
Right?
well, I was just one of the
What did you?
things that
Well, I saw a lot of the stuff that you got from Joe, but
yeah,
if you want to
I had
say
a
thing for the podcast, what you got.
it was a lot of obscure stuff, like just off the wall stuff. But the stuff that wasn't off the wall was the Johnny Quest Kimiko, and I had that in my comic shop shopping cart, so he like gave me a lot of that. And Star Slayer, which I'm well aware of Star Slayer and I've read it. That one came out a while back, and the only thing I was really interested is with the Rocketeer issues. So I had all the Rocketeer because I absolutely adore that movie. Like, it's my favorite superhero movie of all time. Well, no, Joker is, but before Joker, it was Rocketeer. But Rocketeer is like a true hero movie. Like, it is everything that it's a hero that doesn't have all this vengeance and stuff to, or his parents didn't die, or
Yeah.
he didn't lose an uncle, or he didn't get pushed into this hole and the gamma bomb go off. He became a hero just by running
It's a
into
fun he's
something.
a fun action hero
Yeah.
with a lot of that without a lot of that
Pulp. He's a
angst.
pulp. He's a pulp hero in World War II. There's Nazis and there's gangsters and Hollywood is a big scene, and it's just amazing. But yeah, he gave me some Star Slayer and some Elementals and some Futurians, the Dave Cockrum stuff.
Yeah, that stuff's good.
I've never read it. And
And the Elementals, have you read the Elementals? Oh my
well,
God, you
the
know that that's my
Elementals
favorite.
was the sex special, and I did open them up because they came later on, the sex specials, and they're pretty nasty. But they the thing I found interesting is it's that Rev guy, the guy that owns the Youngblood and stuff,
Yeah,
and
he owns the
willing ha
elementals too.
yeah. And I found that really weird because that was an older book. Like, I didn't know he had the elementals so early on and didn't do anything with it. But I mean, he did do stuff with it, but I guess not to the success that
Right.
he wanted to do with it. But it is interesting because I follow that guy on Twitter, and he's just weird. But or I
He doesn't
follow.
seem to be gaining a lot of art fan, I mean artist fans. That's for
No,
sure.
and he doesn't know like how to gain fans. He knows how to lose fans.
Yes.
So it's really weird, but I am definitely on board to see what comes out of it for sure. I'm totally interested in the properties and seeing what happens to them.
Yeah, I hope that something eventually comes out of it for at least for Elementals, because I'm such a huge fan of that.
Yeah, and then speaking of elementals, Justice Machine. So I got a bunch of those because
Nice.
there was a 4-issue Elemental Justice Machine crossover. And then just a ton of stuff. Like, I know a lot about comics. Like, I have been inside of Previews magazine since it first started making it public. And I know a lot about comics, but man, there is stuff in there that I just never heard of. Like,
That's
I
awesome.
had no clue what it was.
Isn't that
And
cool that you can be,
yeah, and
you know,
it was
into
like,
comics for as long as you have, and there's still stuff you've never knew about?
yeah, and there was a lot of romance, like Charlton War romance and westerns and war. And there's the ones that are all signed by that one Mary, forget what
Was
her
it Mary
last,
Crane or something
Mary
like that?
Crane. Yeah, I
Good
would
old
like to get
Mary.
her on this show if we could
Yeah.
find her.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. Tell us the
Cause,
story behind these comic books, Mary.
yeah, well, she read a lot of romance comics, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And she read a lot of Charlton. I mean, she even signed my Space 1999, so I'm like, I want to know who this Mary Crane is, that's for sure.
I saw those some of the all those Charlton, and I was jealous that you had all the. I'm like, oh, some of these Charltons look really, really good.
Yeah. There's a couple that are like reader copies, but that's all right. Most of them were in pretty good shape, like VG or higher. So,
That's awesome.
and he like there's not too many people that could like I knew what I was asking for, but there was a lot of surprises in there, and there's not too much stuff that I think you could surprise me with, but. There was a lot of surprises, and I was like, wow, what is this? And I like just stuff I never heard of, and yeah, that's great stuff.
Awesome. So I'm what a great guy Joe is. Thank you very much, Joe.
Yeah. Did you get any more image stuff? Oh, I got Warlands. That was an image book.
Oh, cool.
And
No, I mean I got a ton, I mean he gave me a ton of Image from I mean, because I didn't get a lot of stuff like that. I got like a Zealot number one,
oh yeah, that's great.
Soul one shot. He's got a bunch of Union in here.
Oh yeah, I completed that recently.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I said, that Big Bang, that was a big stack of those.
Yeah.
Iron Ghost was a 6-issue series by Chuck Dixon.
Yeah.
Looks like a cool one. Some Atomics, just a lot of just different ones. It was a very wide breadth of comics. I'll still do the video, and I'll send it to you guys. I just haven't had a chance yet, but yeah, I'll definitely do that.
Yeah, and I got some Nexus too.
Oh,
So,
nice.
yeah.
That was very nice of Joe to do that. I mean, there's a lot of comics that he gave away, that's for sure. You there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was on mute because I was washing my hands.
Oh, okay.
But I almost envy his. ability to depart with them. And you know why? It's space and stuff, and it's like, if you've already enjoyed it, why do you have that collector mentality? Like, it's strange. Like, I couldn't do what he's doing.
No, I 100% will tell you that I will. This will never happen for me. Like I'm the same as you. I can't just give away en masse hundreds of comic books. The ones that I could ever get rid of is if I have duplicates of them. That's it. Then I'm fine. I don't
And
care.
one other thing is, he had sent me like a cross-gen primer and a cross-gen wizard insert, and like I have an incomplete cross-gen run of the universe, and these I didn't have. Like, so it just goes to show that there's stuff out there that you think you have it all, and you realize I don't have it all. You know what I mean? And the other thing I knew I didn't have was towards the tail end before CrossGen went bankrupt, is they were playing around with licensed properties like He-Man and Dragon's Lair and a couple other things.
Oh,
And he
okay.
sent me 2 issues of Dragon's Lair, and I'm like, shit, I had these on my want list too. So it's like, wow.
How did he know
Yeah, how did he know that? It's like,
that?
because I always liked Dragon's Lair. I sucked at that game.
Oh, I
But like
suck.
Space
You, I
Ace
think
and
that's the game you got to play over and over again, get all that timing right, and I
But
just didn't.
because
Patience
it
is
was
money.
just like walking through a story, and you're just like, you oh, I have to duck twice,
Yes.
or my head's gonna come off or whatever.
Yeah,
You know,
exactly.
and it's you're controlling a cartoon. So it's so weird. But he had a 3 issue run at CrossGen before he went to Arkea, and yeah, he sent me 2 issues of that, so it's like he knocked off some stuff on my want list for sure.
The other one that I should mention is, and I'm just looking through it now, is that he also sent me in a copy of an issue of Combat by Dell, number 28.
Oh,
So,
those covers are amazing. I
yeah,
don't know
those
if I don't know
covers.
if your cover is as good as some of them, but they have like that painted look.
Yep, it's a paint. Yeah, it's got airplanes,
Oh,
dive bomb,
God.
Japanese airplanes dive bombing and releasing air to water missiles and just blowing up all these battleships down below.
Oh, those painted covers are to die for. They're so good. They're so good.
Yeah, so this is a cool one because this is much older one than the other ones, and I'll be looking forward to reading this. Maybe I'll cover this in one of our DC Everything Else ones.
Yeah.
Nice, very nice.
I got a two Lightning comics before I started collecting, 'cause I guess Lightning Comics had a line, and then they try to do their own line, and I'm used to their own line. Helena and Purge and a bunch of other ones, but this was like a Captain Action licensed property, and then they had a Green Beret comic. So yeah, it was a very interesting box, and my box was like
Yeah,
30 pounds.
I
But I'll tell you one right now, he like I think he knows like where I am in my collecting life right now, because he just hit like that nerve that I want stuff that I haven't experienced, and sure enough, that's what he gave me. So,
it's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
yeah. And I was just listening. I took Harley for a walk this morning, and I was just listening to Rob Liefeld's observations, and it was a fascinating episode because he was talking about Extreme Studios, like when it was taken off, and Chap Yap and Dan Fraga and all these names that I knew of. and how they never really made it big because of Wizard Magazine. And it was just fascinating, but I could see how Wizard was controlling sort of what you like and don't like by saying what's hot and then lowering the prices on what's not. They were controlling politically what was happening. And it was like fascinating to hear another side to it.
So were they financially compensated
Oh my
for
God,
promoting
Liefeld.
certain comics?
Liefeld gave the rates on which he paid these guys,
Really?
and it was amazing. Like Marvel was paying like $150 a comic book at the time to ink, and he was paying $300. And I don't think that's a lot of money. And there was one guy, he said Jeff Matasta, like he did Kaboom and a couple other things for him. And he went in to do Ben 10, and like he went into animation and storyboards, and so did Chap Yap. So they were making money in animation. And he brought up Andy Park, and we know him. He's worked with Phil Hester a lot and stuff. And he's working for Marvel Cinematics. So these guys, started off at his studio, and now they're making money elsewhere, kind of doing art, but doing it for a different medium, which I thought was fascinating. But the thing that I loved about his studio is like he would go through portfolios and they'd find these guys, and then he would call them, and these were kids that were living with their parents. They were like 18 and 16, and they were like right out of high school, living with their parents, doing portfolios, and he would say, come down here to California and we'll hook you up. And they said, well, how am I going to live there? Well, he bought a house, and it was like a Liefeld frat house. And he it was like you could come live here free, like free. So they had free board plus these in crazy salaries. And I guess I never ever realized until I listened to this podcast how rich Silvestri became doing X-Men comics. Like we're talking driving Porsches, having a beach house. Like
Really?
I had no fucking idea that he was. They modeled themselves, McFarlane and the rest of them modeled themselves to try to be like him because he knew how to make money. And it's fascinating. God, it's
Yeah,
fascinating
it's
listening to
very
these
interesting.
stories.
Wow.
But now I want to go down these rabbit holes of finding all the Dan Fraga stuff, and like I just want it. And I knew what Marriott Michaels is doing because he's doing Kickstarters only, and he's making good money doing it with Counterpoint Comics. And I just started poking around in my database and ran into Counterpoint Comics. And I'm like, who's doing this art? It looks amazing. And I bought one off of eBay for like $15, but I'm going to start looking out for Counterpoint Comics on the Kickstarters for sure.
Interesting. I've never even heard of them.
Yeah, it's amazing. I started buying, I bought a couple of them. Because I'm into warrior nuns, any kind of warrior nun. You throw a nun in the badass fighting,
You're
and I'm there.
there? Nice.
But anyway, you want to kick this off? What do you want to talk about?
Sure. Here we go. Okay, so my first one that I'll talk about, compliments of Joe Crawford, is going to be Route 66 number one. Yeah, Route 666 number one. Sorry. So this dives right in with there's this girl that is going to university, and she plays volleyball. Or no, I'm sorry, she's a gymnast. And apparently right up front, right on the inside cover, is like a letter from the university to her parents, and it's from the mental health department, and just basically saying that they've been indiscreetly checking up on her, and she seems to be integrating with everybody and seems to be doing fine and stuff like that. So you kind of have to wonder, even before you even start the first page here, why exactly they've been asked to check on her and without her knowing and stuff, but sounds like she's doing okay. So obviously there's something to her. Her and her roommate seem to be very good friends. Her roommate's name is Helene, and they go, they're both on the gymnastics team, and they're going to have a meet. So they go there and they start doing their practicing. The janitor is opening up the bleachers. You know how those bleachers in high schools and stuff, can be closed and opened. So he's got it's an electronic device that just like pops them all out. So he goes ahead and pops them out. Helene had told Cassie, the main character, that there's a boy there that might be interested in her. And I guess Cassie doesn't have much experience with dating and stuff. So Helene sees the boy there and kind of pulls him aside to ask some questions, see if he'd be interested in going out with Cassie. So they duck under the bleachers and they start talking. It's kind of too early to tell, but he seems like he might be actually kind of a creep, because when she starts talking to him about Cassie, he's like, "Oh, that's interesting. Why don't you tell me more about her later? Let's say, pizza at a local restaurant." So he's like asking Helene out on a date when Helene's trying to get him together with her best friend. And so she doesn't appreciate that. She's like, I'm not interested. I think that you two would actually be pretty good together." Now, in the meantime, Cassie's distracted. She's on the balance beam, and she noticed that Helene and that boy that she's interested in had went under the bleachers. And so she's kind of not doing as well as she normally does. She actually falls. She kicks over the janitor's bucket, and the water spills all over the place, zapping the device that opens and closes the bleachers. So, of course, what do you think happens? The bleachers start closing, and the two are still inside. So they start going out as fast as they can. The boy gets out. And they're both shouting for them to turn it off. She had been taking the nail polish off of her nails. She had dropped the bottle. As she's running almost on her way out, she slips, she falls, and it's just a series of snap, snap, crack, crack, pop, because all the thing is just crushing her and breaking all different bones in her body. And there's a full page picture of her then all like trapped in this thing. It looks pretty bad. She's not dead. And the ambulance comes to take her, and the coach goes follows behind. Now, for some reason, the two in the ambulance, the two EMTs, say no, that she's not gonna make it. And they say okay, so they pull into an alley instead of going to the hospital. And then she just ends up dying. And unbeknownst to them, the coach was right behind them. So she starts banging on the window saying, "What are you doing? You got to get her to the hospital. You should have already been there." And they kind of look at each other, open the back of the ambulance, grab her. And now, instead of a normal looking hand, it looks like a furry, like almost like I'm guessing like a werewolf hand or something. And grab her and pull her into the ambulance, and they slam the door. So that's the last you see of that. Cassie's, of course, very upset over everything that happened. She feels like it's her fault. She goes up to bed and she's trying to sleep, and she ends up seeing the ghost of her best friend. And the ghost is saying, "You've got to help. They've got the coach, and they're after me as well." And she can't believe what she's seeing. And then these two weird black evil looking spirits come, and they're trying to catch Helene. This is all right in front of Cassie. She starts reacting. The two black spirits are very surprised that Cassie can see them at all, but they end up grabbing Helene and pulling her away, and then they just kind of, all three of them kind of disappear. Cassie doesn't know what to make of it. She starts telling her parents what had happened, and they're like, we've got to get you some help. We've got to get you some help. And they said, it's happening again, just like the funeral, just like Tutu's funeral. So they take her to a mental institution, and they think it's best for her to kind of get some help there. Get a little backstory from Cassie, and you learn that as a kid, she was seeing spirits all the time, and they always looked like there was something wrong with them. Like there was an old woman with a noose around her neck. There was a boy with like a some sort of I don't even know what it would be, but something in his head. But they're not acting like they're bothered, so she wasn't bothered about it, and she played with them. And then everything was like that until her grandfather passed away, and they went to his funeral, and she noticed his spirit just standing in the corner. And after that, she ended up deciding not to have any more visitors, and because her parents just kept her taking her to doctor after doctor after doctor. She had told them what she had seen. She tried to kill herself when she was only 8 years old. And so now she's hopefully going to be helped here. There seems to be a very kind doctor named Dr. Waterman who takes an interest in her and says, you know, this isn't a terrible place. You know, we're going to try to get you help and so on and so forth. And then one night, those two black spirits come back, and they kind of want to know why it was that she could see them, but also they're saying that they've got Helene now, and that you know now that she's angry with Cassie because it was all her fault that she's dead. And Cassie's like, "No, you're lying, you're lying." And so she's trying to like actually physically run away. She ends up getting cornered, so she runs through one of the spirits, and she sees almost like the history of him. He looked like he was a serial killer who ended up being killed in the electric chair. And so she's like almost stunned. She's on the floor, and looks like it's going to be bad for her at this point. And all of a sudden, like a portal opens, and a spirit comes down, and it's her grandfather. And it looks like he's about to rescue her from these two evil spirits. And that's the end of the first issue. I wasn't sure, Mike, you've read these before. I wasn't sure because I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know if this was like an anthology series, but obviously it seems like this is an actual ongoing story. It was pretty cool beginning. I'm definitely looking forward to reading the
Yeah,
rest
it
of that series.
focuses on that character the
Yeah,
whole series.
it was
It's kind of like a
really
sixth sense kind
great.
of thing.
Yeah, I liked the beginning of this, and I didn't say who was responsible for it, but it's Tony Bedard is the writer, and let me see if I can go back and find the artist here. It's in the back.
Carl Malini, I think.
Yeah, yep. So yeah, that's right. So yeah, this
Yeah,
was cool.
Tony
This
Bedard is, God, he's good. I really have liked everything that guy's done. He's one of
Yeah,
those
I know
guys
most of
that's
his stuff
pretty solid.
from his DC later DC work.
Yeah, he's done a lot of DC work. He did a lot of cross-gen. I think he did Valiant. Yeah, he's been around.
Yeah. This was cool. Thank you very much, Joe. This was a good one.
Yep. So I'll cover another Joe book.
Okay.
And this one came in a poly bag, and it looks like Joe cut the top off so he could retain the poly bag. And there's a poster in it, and let me see what else this has in it. Oh, it has a fake $100 bill. I don't know what that's about. It's sealed. I'm not gonna open it. It's got a trading card. And a poster. I'm opening the poster up for the first time, but its title on in the polybag says Project X. But if you go to the database and you type Project X, there's nothing there. I mean, there's like Project X Christmas and Project X something else. But the title of the book is Thumpin' Guts. So if you put that into our database,
Yep, I see it.
you'll get. I have 1B, which is the polybag that reads Project X, clues a poster, a trading card, and a sealed envelope with a phony $100 bill.
Yeah.
So that's the one I have.
Nice.
And it's interesting because if you think about 1993, this is when comic books were hot. Like this is like the start of the glory years where stores were just popping up out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
And Image Comics was exploding, and Marvel was making money, and DC is starting to. Well, I think 1993 is when the Death of Superman comes. It's either 93 or 94.
Yeah, right
So
around there.
it's so. Things were exploding. This is from Kitchen Sink Comics. It's very colorful. In order to enjoy this, you have to just sit back and relax and just don't. You're not going to get a lot of story, but if you like Kevin Eastman art, well, breakdowns with Simon Beisley artwork, you will like this. And
Yeah, I mean that it looks, just the covers look incredible.
yeah, it looks pretty cool, and the premise is kind of pretty cool. It takes a while. It's The description on our database is more than you'll get, like if you read the story, because it's so. I mean, you'll get the gist of it, but it starts off, and sometimes you can't really tell what's happening. But there's these guys that are digging for oil, like really, really deep in the core of the earth, and these drillers, they like strike something. And it frees this like destroyer of worlds called mental health. But when he does it, like there's like this gorgeous woman on the beach putting suntan oil on her skin, and then all of a sudden her head's like lopped off. I mean, it's just like crazy violent. And there's this woman with her kids, and she's just washing dishes, and all of a sudden the dishes start to explode off of the sink, and it looks like it ki potentially kills her in front of her kids. And this guy like just explodes, and he's like, I've been in prison forever. I'm free. I'm free. I'm going to destroy the world. And he then there's this character, like much like Rye, you know how there's father? Well, actually, in the original series, it was mother, but in the new series, it's father. And he has like four kids: Vito, Stab, Mega Dead, and Detonate. And he's like, "I imprisoned my son a long time ago. I need your help." And they all look really strange looking. There's two females. Mega Dead is a female. Vito's a female, and the other two, Stab and Detonate, are males. And the only reason you can really tell, Vito looks like a female. Mega Dead looks like some metallic robot with breasts. That's how you know it's a female. And then Stab looks like a monster that you'd see on the cover of this magazine. Matter of fact, do you see the cover for 1B? Well, enlarge it.
Got it.
Do you see that female on the bottom that has breasts?
Yeah, sure.
That
How can you miss those?
that's Vito.
Okay.
That's Vito. I don't think I see Mega Dead. I'm trying to see. Oh, Stab. Stab is the guy that's getting punched in the face.
Okay.
Mega Dead is that robot
On the bottom?
on the bottom. Actually, no, actually that's Detonate. Detonate's on the bottom, And you don't see there's no picture of Mega Dead. So that gives you an idea what they look like. If you're listening to this and you're interested, look for Thumpin' Guts number one, cover B, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But the guy that was freed by the drilling of oil is on the cover. He's the main guy, like punching everybody, and twice the size. He was the one that was freed, and he makes pretty quick work of his brothers and sisters, that's for sure. And there's this character though they don't really talk about that looks like some Lobo. It looks like Lobo, and he has like a cycle of death, and he's coming to Earth, and I don't know why. It doesn't explain it, but he confronts our monster, and it all comes down to the monster still being free, and we'll never ever see how this was completed. It's very strange that they did this issue, polybagged it, probably to take advantage of what was happening in 1993,
Oh, for sure.
and make it a collector's item, and then never finished it. But I thought it was a fun piece of art to look at for sure. And if you're a Simon Bisley fan and a Kevin Eastman fan, I think it's worthwhile to get it, check it out.
Yeah, I mean, just the covers alone look really cool. Very nice.
Yeah, I gotta try to put it back into the poly bag now.
You ready for me to cover another one?
Yeah.
Okay. What do I got here? All right. The next one I'm going to talk about is an Image comic. I mentioned it just a little while ago by Chuck Dixon and Sergio Carriello. And it's called The Iron Ghost. So this was from 2005. I don't remember seeing it at all back at the time, but it looks pretty cool. And it looks and it is World War II themed. So I figured I'd give this one a read today. So it starts off, it's set in Berlin in 1945. So by 1945, things are already not going well for the Nazis. So they're just being bombed nonstop by the Americans, the Canadians, and the English. They really have no air force left to speak of. It's just the ground weaponry that are trying to shoot down, help to protect them and shoot down the planes and stuff, but not very effective at this point in the war. So you see a high-ranking Nazi official named Ritter, who is just kind of sneaking around all of the rubble in the city, and he's got a very large bag. You get the impression right away, and you end up finding that you're correct, that it looks like he's trying to probably escape the city. So he gets somebody in. Encounters him, and they start talking with him, and his first thing is he starts threatening them because of he's an officer with the SS, and then his next when that doesn't work, his next thing is to apologize and ask what he can do to make up for his insults, and then his last go-to is presenting the bag that has millions of British pounds in it. None of those things seem to work. You don't see the person that is approaching the Ritter, but you just see Ritter, his reaction from panel to panel. So he's on his knees, holding up his bag, and then you see two pistols, one in each hand, and he's just shooting, 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 and then you finally see this Iron Ghost. He's got this very large trench coat. He's got a hat on, He does have like one of those German crosses on the outside of his trench coat. He's got a pistol in each hand, and he has one red, almost, it looks like almost like a monocle, but it's glowing red, and his face is just covered in darkness. You can't see anything in his face, just the red eye. So this body is discovered the next morning, and one of the fellow members of the SS tasks some detectives to discover who killed Ritter, because obviously robbery wasn't the motive. The money is all still sitting there. So he ends up grabbing, taking the money. He drives away with, I don't know who this woman is. It's definitely not his wife or girlfriend, but her name is Lisa Stahl. And they get the air raid siren starts going off, so they start driving to a shelter. In the meantime, these detectives are trying to uncover what exactly had happened. They pull all the bullets from the body, and they find that there are 5 caliber rounds, which are American bullets that normally you see in like revolvers that they say are like typical of like cowboys and gangsters. And there was a piece of paper they found shoved in this Nazi's mouth that says in German "rapist." So it's like obviously there must be some sort of revenge. But they're just starting to investigate. It cuts to a bar where a bunch of German soldiers are singing, and they have mugs of beer. And the next thing you know, this Iron Ghost shows up, and with a flamethrower, he starts setting the place on fire, and he starts burning all about 6 of these Nazis alive. One runs out and collapses into the snow, and Iron Ghost shoots him in the back a few times. Those detectives end up, getting called out, and they said, "Okay, obviously this must have been a fire, probably from an incendiary bomb." And they said, "No, there weren't any in the area. Everyone was dead. One came out. However, the woman bartender was survived, and so they talked to her, and she says that he spared her and said that she may go." And that his face was covered, and she talks about the monocle, the lens that glowed red. And then there's a brief interlude with a couple high-ranking Nazis that are sitting down at a restaurant and kind of discussing some plans, how exactly this is going to play into the rest of the story. We don't know yet, but it is a very high-ranking soldier that was famous with his tank, and another one that was famous in his airplane during this war. When we cut back to the detectives, they're again getting evidence and pulling information. They found more of the rounds in that guy's back, all the same caliber. The flamethrower was German issued. They found it discarded by some train tracks. No fingerprints whatsoever. However, in the mouth of the soldier that fell out into the snow was another message with a piece of paper that said "killers" on it. It turned out that these guys all worked in one of the as concentration camp guards. So they attribute that this got to be some sort of revenge. So we cut to some train tracks, and you see the Iron Ghost walking through all of these old wooden train cars, and one has the Star of David on the outside, and he steps inside, and it has all these people's names on there. They all look like they're probably Jewish people that carved their name in there as they were taking their ride in these train cars. some British soldiers, you know, say, "Who's there?" And they start firing into the car. But what they don't know is Iron Ghost had already left the car and is now underneath the train car, and he opens fire right into their legs and ankles, and they're all crawling around. And one says, "Who are you? Did you know someone on this train?" And Iron Ghost says, "Does it matter?" And he just shoots him point blank, and that's the end of the first issue. So it looks like Joe, it looks like this is a 6-issue series, Mike. Looks like Joe provided me with issues 1 through 5. So guess what I'm going to have to go pick up?
Six.
Yeah. I
So you
got to
like
figure out how this ends.
you liked it.
I liked it. It was
Yeah.
good.
How
Did you
about
ever read that?
Route Six? No, I don't have Iron Ghost.
It was good.
Yeah.
It's a cool World War II, end of World War II. The Germans are on a run, and it's nice to see them panic and be terrified by this Iron Ghost.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see where this leads next.
Cool. What issues of Route 66 did you get?
He gave me the whole run.
Oh my God, that's good.
Yeah, the whole thing. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is.
I got more reading to do.
Yep. Well,
Okay.
I'll cover another Joe book too. This one I didn't even know exist, and I'll probably be getting more from this company because there's only like 5 issues to get. But it's from Ocean Comics, and it's The Wedding of Popeye and Olive.
Ah.
A good, 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 good. This is some other
Oh, I
comics that
like
they.
this cover.
Yeah,
It's
it's
not what I
cool.
expected as the cover.
Yeah. It's a different art style than you're used to, and the writer is Peter David. The artists are David Garcia and Sam De La Rosa. And it came out in 1999. And they did one other Popeye special. They didn't do much. They did a Mr. Jigsaw special, and I think Mr. Jigsaw was from Charlton. They did a Greatest American Comic Book, Ocean's Comic, and a comic called Street Fighter that ran for 4 issues, and it's not the Street Fighter that
Not
we
the video
know. The
game?
vi it's not the video game. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there's not a lot. I've never heard of this company. I never heard of this comic, and I never heard of. I didn't know that Olive had a brother named Castor. Castor Oil.
Kind of sounds familiar.
And I didn't never heard of this character. What is his name? His name is Gravy.
No, I don't know Gravy. Castor Oil sounds familiar, though.
What is his last name? Gravy as I live and breathe. Huh, I don't know what his last name is, but he seems to be a rich guy. And he comes to propose to Olive Oil, and he's rich. Not because he invested right in the stock market, because he invested in the stock market, lost a lot of money, and then his dad was so mad that he had a heart attack, and he inherited the millions that his dad.
What a way to become rich.
But he's like, why aren't you ever married? You know, I see you're still interested in Popeye, and he brings her chocolates, and she's got the dollar bills in her eyes, and she's like, wow, I think I should go with this guy. And then she says, no, I can't. I'm in love with Popeye. And then all of a sudden, a goon pops through the wall, and he says, well, if I can't have you, I'm gonna take you. And they kidnap her, and she's like, Popeye, help! And meanwhile, this is a weird scene out of nowhere, but there's two newlyweds that were just hitched. Has really nothing to do with the story, but they were just hitched, and the guy loses his brakes. And Popeye's there with Neep. He's that weird looking pet creature.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And they run into Popeye, and they get ejected from their vehicle and land in the water. And the newlyweds survive, and they're like, thank you, Popeye. You're the world's first human brake, because they lost their brakes in their honeymoon, and Popeye sort of saved them. But if you run into a wall, in my opinion, like Popeye, you would die. They weren't wearing seat belts for sure, because they were ejected from the vehicle and just happened to land in the water. But it seems like the impact of running into Popeye would have killed them. But
Yeah.
they survived, and they thank Popeye. And then Jeep is able to, like, he puts his tail in the air, like he can sense the truth in the future. And Popeye asks, "Well, maybe I should marry Olive Oil." And then he starts asking, and then, he raises his tail in the air, and he's like, "Well, when are we going to get married? Next week? And next year? No." And then he's like, "Tomorrow?" And then he lists. The creature lifts his tail in the air, and he's like, "Wow, I gotta get married to Popeye." And then he sees the goon and that rich guy on a ship, and her yelling Popeye, and she's like, "I gotta go rescue them." And then meanwhile, Brutus comes up, and or Bluto, what did I say, Brutus?
Brutus,
Bluto pops up, and it looks like Bluto was hired by this rich guy to keep Popeye off his tail. And Bluto is really gonna he like started taking spinach, so that's not a good sign.
yeah.
And he throws the rich guy off the boat, and he says, "Nope, I'm gonna take Olive now." And so that's all not good. And he has this power from this creature, this magic little hen. They like rub the hen's head, and it like gives them power. And Popeye's really trying to find a ship so he can go after Olive Oil. So he goes to the hamburger place, where you guess who you find at the hamburger place?
Of course, Wimpy.
Wimpy. And he's trying to convince the restaurant owner to give him a free burger, of course, because he has no money. And he's saying, "You'd be donating to a worthy cause, and it becomes a tax deduction." So he's like trying to convince him, and then Popeye's like, "I need your boat. I gotta stop Olive from getting married to this rich guy." And that's when I saw Castor Oil and Popeye's father, Pappy,
Oh, Pappy, yeah.
and Sweepy, of course, with the legendary Alice the Goon. And then Olive's parents, who I didn't know, Nana and Cole All Oil, and they go off in a ship to try to rescue Olive Oil, and they go to this Spinochia island, and Bluto starts trying to take over. He's taking over the military and the Royal Spinach Field, and then he's trying to eat all the spinach, because he knows Popeye's coming after him. And sure enough, Popeye pulls the spinach after he pulls it out of the ground. He's like a gopher. Popeye goes underground and eats all the spinach and takes out Bluto. And the day's rescued, and they get married. So
Nice.
yeah, it was there's an interesting scene in here where he says, "You may kiss the bride," and Popeye has the pipe in his mouth, and he kisses Olive Oil, and then she has the pipe in her mouth. And then this remark is out of the blue. So Popeye says, "So we're finally hitched. Well, blow me down." The key is, he says, "Blow me down." And then Olive Oil says, "Later, Popeye, later."
Ooh.
That is nasty. That is nasty. Yeah, but this was fun. Yeah, blow me down. Later, Popeye,
Fantastic.
later.
Wow, look at that. Peter David, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And Tom Grummett did the cover.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Didn't
All
know
right.
this one existed.
No, I've never heard of Ocean or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was not that long ago. I mean, not to old people like us.
Right.
1999 was like 2 minutes ago. So my last one for today, this the last one also from the bunch that Joe gave us, is Image introduces Primate number one. This was are you familiar with this one at all? I certainly wasn't.
Is the title Image Introduces, or what is the title? No, I'm
Image.
not aware of it.
Yeah. So it looks like they may have done a bunch of one shots or something like that with different ideas. The creators are Bo Smith and Kevin Bernhardt, and the penciler is Mitch Bird.
Oh, this looks great.
And the covers are amazing too.
Yeah.
So what you've got is that there's a gorilla named Bobo, and it opens the book opens up with him in Manhattan, and he's in captivity in a cage. It explains that he's not just bigger and stronger than others, but he's smarter also. And you see him actually now picking the actual key lock on his cage with a piece of metal. He then opens it up, and he leaves the cage, and he has those two daggers in his hands that you see on the cover. So you're like, okay, and he starts slicing and dicing the men that are responsible for shipping these cage containers left and right, and you start hearing a drum in the distance, and you see a man up on a roof hitting the drum, and a woman standing behind this man. So that's how it opens, and then it flashes back to 3 days prior in Rwanda, and there's a woman named Catherine who is an anthropologist and is working with her most prized pupil, the giant silverback ape named Bobo. And so she's talking in sign language to Bobo, and they're talking back and forth. They hear some gunfire, and they know that from the type of gunfire that it's not another persons that are with them named Will. It must be somebody else. So we cut to this to their little encampment, and sure enough, there's a group with automatic weapons that are putting that have just put two baby gorillas onto the back of a truck and have the mother gorilla tied down on a gurney. And she's screaming, and they are now zapping her with stun sticks to try to quiet her down. This man, Will, he comes out, and he levels his rifle at the main bad guy named Rutan. And apparently he used to work with Rutan, and then he realized what kind of a person he was becoming by working with this guy Rutan, and he kind of turned to the other side, and now he's protecting wildlife instead of taking advantage of them. However, he's by himself, and there's a group of at least five or six in front of him, taking care of these gorillas. And another one comes up from behind Will and cracks him on the head and knocks him out. And well, actually, I'm sorry, it doesn't knock him out. He's actually still conscious, but he's on the ground. And Will accuses this Rutan of, acting on nothing but greed, and that he's a horrible person and stuff. And Rutan turns in with his automatic rifle, shoots and kills the mother gorilla, and says, "See, I'm not a greedy man. I could have sold that mother ape off." But he's like, "But as for my lust for violence," he's like, "I guess you're right." And he goes ahead and he executes Will. Bobo and Catherine come running, and they get there. All they see is dust as the truck has gone away, and Will is lying on the ground, and he's just about to die, and he ends up passing away. Just as Bobo actually picks him up in his arms and kind of takes him off to a special place, where you start hearing the drums, and something to do, they try to explain something to do with the rhythm of the drums, and the everything that had just happened in terms of chemical reactions in the brain and so forth. And all of this combines to make that Bobo now becomes like a conscious being that can act, that actually, is at the human level of intelligence. So we see these poachers driving away, and Bobo runs and jumps on top of it, strangles the driver, and then jumps off with the two babies, and the truck just goes off the edge of a cliff and just crashes. So Catherine sees this, and she starts trying to communicate with Bobo, but and then she realizes that he's communicating with sign language in the same manner as a person that would that could communicate in sign language. Like no more broken sentences and stuff. He's speaking through sign language perfectly. And so basically he says that he needs to get revenge, on the main bad guy that had already had left. And so she wasn't in that truck. And so she starts thinking of different ways. She's like, it's going to take time to arrange transport. And he says, I have a faster way. They'll take me. So the next time the poachers are around and Rootin's there, they set up a trap, and Bobo purposefully goes into the trap. They can't believe how big he is. And so they're going to go ahead and take him back to the States. And Catherine is watching this from a distance, and some sort of I guess you'd call them a witch doctor. I'm not sure, what, a medicine man, something like that. He approaches Catherine. He was the one banging the drums, and he starts explaining himself and what he was doing. And he's actually a scientist as well, and he went and studied abroad and came back and kind of integrated what he learned abroad with his native culture as well to incorporate the best of both worlds. However, what he explains to Catherine is that everything that he did is only a temporary effect on Bobo, and that with Bobo off on his own, that will eventually wear off, and he'll just be a regular gorilla, a big, strong one, but a regular one, and he won't remember what he's actually doing there anymore. So they decide that they have to, of course, take off after him, which they end up doing, and they end up getting close enough to where they find out where Bobo is being kept, and the guy that he was actually the guy Rootin was grabbing the gorillas for. Notices that the gorilla is using sign language, and now it's starting to become a little bit more broken because he's starting to lose some of his intelligence, but he's still using sign language. So this guy that hired Rootin is like, I can't use this gorilla. Like, it's using sign language. It's going to be easily tracked. There's no way we can do anything with it. We're going to have to just kill it and use it for parts. So just as he's saying that, and Rootin's about to kill Bobo, the war drums start again, and he gets his smarts back, and that's where it picks up, is where we left off at the beginning of the story. Rootin gets to the main baddie, the owner guy, tells Rootin to we'll finish Bobo later. We got to get the rest of the shipment on the truck. They all go, and that's when Bobo starts to remember why he's there. And he picks that lock, and he starts killing everybody in the warehouse. So that's what he's doing. He's going crazy. Now this the rich guy, his young daughter's there as well. And once people are being killed left and right, and Rootin end up being killed last, he kind of hides his daughter because he doesn't want anything to happen to her, of course. And Bobo ends up jumping in and grabs the daughter. And it was a good point because he's like literally got this young girl by the head, and the rich guy's just begging him, saying, you know, please don't, you know, I'll do anything. He's like, don't, you know, do that. Don't do this. And Bobo signs. He remembers the mothers and babies of his kind who lost their lives to your men, and he doesn't know why your young should be treated differently. And he's just saying, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And Bobo says he doesn't know why he should be better than a man. And then he continues to sign and says, so he won't try to figure it out. He'll just be a gorilla. And he gives the girl back. And so the rich guy says, just let him, because there's still, you know, a couple men there, says, let him go. And Bobo just escapes. And actually you see him going down into a sewer. And he's, you know, kind of like thinking in his head, I don't know where I am or where to go, but I will soon. And that's the end of the issue. It's pretty cool, pretty touching. I don't think anything more came out of this one, but it was an interesting one shot.
Was it black and white?
No, it was color.
That's right. I saw most of these are black and white.
Yeah, and actually there's a little note, I think, on one of them that says B and W on the notes, and it is not black and white. It is definitely all color. It was a cool story. I mean, you kind of knew what was going to happen through it, but it still didn't take away from the fact that it was told well.
Did you get the entire run of these, or just that one?
Just that one.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is another one that went past me.
Yeah, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's a little preview of that image introduces Believer at the back of this primate one.
Yeah.
But
and I don't recognize. I don't recognize most of these teams. Like
no.
Ben no, Rabb, I do, who did Cryptopia.
Mm. Oh yeah, I've seen that name before.
Legend of Isis was Ben Rabb too. But a lot of these are. Yours is Bo Smith. I know that name. And Mitch Beard, I know that. So I know the artist.
Yeah. That's cool. That was a good story, though.
Yeah. Well, my last one, I went to, now that I sort of almost completed Cable, at least at my LCS, I still have a few issues left. To finish. And last week I was on a Cable tear. Like I read like, I don't know, like 10 issues of Cable. But I was like, what to do next? So my shop has a lot of back issues. And I was no longer a pull customer, but I'd still get 30% off the back issues. But if I was picking anything off the shelf, it was still full price. But I was buying a lot of back issues lately. So I was like, should I just open up a small pool and then get 50% off? Because I think mathematically it'll be to my benefit.
Right.
So I did. And I started to think, well, I've always told everybody that it was hard for me to always cut DC. But when I made my cuts, I made them in Marvel. But I don't own a full run of Marvel Comics Presents. So I had 1 through 19, and then I had some sporadic ones, depending on the storyline in the future. And I picked up a handful of them that he had there, 30, and then I figured I'd get another 20 more. He doesn't have the full run, but he has the ones that weren't popular. Like he doesn't have the Weapon X storyline or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But this was issue 20, Invasion of Muir Island. It has a Mignola cover where, what is this creature? It's a well-known Sentinel. Master Mold.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And this other character called Conscience, and I that one doesn't ring a bell with me.
Me neither.
But what does ring a bell with me is the Legacy Virus. I knew about that. And this is the time that the Legacy Virus was exposed, and Scott has it, Callisto has it, and Master Mold and Conscious are going after Moira MacTaggert, and Cyclops and Callisto have to team up to stop the invasion. And he's got like these weird little alien creatures that look like parademons, except they're not green, that work for Conscious. And he says, Callisto says their name is Legion, but I know Legion is Xavier's son, so I don't know what they mean by Legion. Maybe they're Legion in size because there's a bunch of them coming, but it doesn't mention what they are. But they're attacking, and Cyclops is like blasting away and destroying these things, and they have guns, and Moira MacTaggert has a gun, and Callisto has a gun, and they're destroying it. Meanwhile, Scott's blasts are getting weaker and weaker by the moment, and he's breaking out in a cold sweat, and eventually Conscious takes over and has Scott, and it's to be continued. This looks like an interesting story, and this was part 4 of 8, but I think it was well told in the fact that I was able to follow along what was going on, just like a regular comic book at this time, and the story was roughly about 8 pages or so. And Banshee and Mary Campbell were both captured by these weird creatures. And I guess Banshee's infected by the Legacy Virus at this time too, and is in pretty bad shape, and is in status inside of the cylinder. And the next story of the creative team on that was Bob Harris, which I learned a lot about Bob Harris. I mean, he's currently he was the editor, the chief editor at DC Comics until the restructuring. And I never really thought much about Bob Harris, but I wasn't a big Marvel fan, but I didn't know that he was like the X-Men editor during the time that Jim Lee was doing X-Men and Rob
Oh, right,
Liefeld was
yeah.
doing X-Factor. He's the one that put those teams together. So it's like this guy has to have some props. And then Ron Lim, I think he drew really well. He did Infinity Gauntlet when Perez left, I think, or Starlin, I can't remember which one. And he was mostly known for his run on Silver Surfer at the time. And he draws really good. And then there's a Black Panther by Don McGregor and Gene Colan, and that was sort of a depressing story, as these guys are releasing like a gas, like a tear gas, somewhere in Africa, and this kid, this little kid, is going to get killed by this truck that's releasing this gas, and Black Panther sort of rescues him, but I think the kid is in bad shape at the end of this. And he does take out the truck, but somebody shoots him at the end. So as soon as he takes out that truck that's releasing the tear gas amongst the people, the boy lives. He just can't see because of the gas. And then someone fires a pistol. The guy who was driving the truck that he beat up, he grabs a pistol and shoots Black Panther in the back. So that's how that cliffhanger ends. And that was part 8 of 25, so that was a long-running story. And then we have Doctor Strange and Nightmare in Suburbia by Fabian Nicieza and art by Mark Badger. And I don't know much about Mark Badger, but he has a really abstract art style. And it's really hard to tell what's going on in here. I didn't care for his art. He was okay when he was doing art, like when Doctor Strange is still, like he's not moving. But this has a lot of fight scenes and stuff, and it looked really weird. But the story is about a wife that Doctor Strange is trying to protect from the husband, and the husband is manifested by a demon, and he's going to kill his wife and kid, and Doctor Strange is there to protect the wife, and he ends up destroying the father and saving the wife and kid. And then there's a story of Clea, which I've always thought she was a babe. She's Doctor Strange's woman, at least she was at one point. And the writer is Peter Gillis, and the artist is Ron Lim again. And he draws a pretty doggone good Clea. And she's sort of in whatever realm she's in. Like I didn't realize that she was like the daughter of, I forget what it said, but it was really weird. She's related to Umar, which I didn't know. Her mother is Umar,
No.
and she's protecting this realm, and it's being attacked by these mystical dragons and such. And that's how that just ends. It's just a one shot. And it turns out that she's protecting that demon dragon was after a rose, and she had to protect that rose. But it was a good one shot. I enjoyed it, especially the artwork. I thought it was pretty cool, and it's pretty cool to read an anthology again. And it was a nice one to jump into because even though a lot of these were like part X of 20, I was able to follow along what was going on, and that means it's a pretty good comic if you're able to do that.
Yeah, that's pretty
So
cool.
yeah, that was Marvel Comics Presents number 20.
Fairly early in the run.
Yep.
I got a question for you, and this is totally off topic. And it's about newer books, but I don't know what's going on. Have you heard anything about remember the Image comic Dead, it was Dead Rabbit, then it became Dead Eyes?
Yeah.
Do you know what's going on with that? Is it just stopped?
I don't know. I'm not caught up on it. Did
Okay.
the last issue end like it was over? Or did
No.
it just not come back from the pandemic?
I don't think it came back from the it there's four issues. Then if you look in the database, it lists up to six because of previews. And that's it. Nothing
Well,
ever came out.
there's a lot of series that are sort of in that
I just wonder
bubble.
if he's planning on doing more, if that's or now that's
Some
gonna
of
be
them
it.
they just ended too, and they're Marvel books. Like
Like Morbius, right? Didn't Morbius just
Morbius
stop?
just stopped, and one I was enjoying was Amazing Spider-Man Daily Bugle. That
Yeah.
one just went three issues and just ended, and
I wish
then
they would at least make an announcement so you know, like, okay, this is what's happening.
yeah, and that was a good series too, Dead Rabbit. I only read the
It
first
was
two Dead
really
Rabbits.
good.
I haven't picked up with Dead Eyes or whatever they
Okay.
changed it to.
Yeah, I mean,
I
it's good.
have them. I just haven't gone to the basement and dug them up.
The cover to five is even in the actual database. So they had cover information and everything, but it's never come
Yeah.
out. What a shame.
This week and last week I got my shipments on time, so
This week, oh my God, me too. I got mine on Thursday. I couldn't believe it.
yeah, I got mine on Friday, which is pretty damn early for Colorado, but the thing that I'm still missing though is my issue of Savage Dragon.
Which
But
one?
I, the latest one after the cartoon, the Charlie Brown issue.
Okay, That one I get at my LCS, so I picked up mine.
Yeah, I picked it up at my LCS in the event that I don't get it, but I know it shipped because it was at the LCS, and they had two covers. One wasn't solicited, It had the Biden the Biden cover.
Oh, right.
So I went and picked that up.
That's cool. I found the same thing, not with this shipment, Mike, but the shipment prior. There was about three, yeah, I think there were three comics that I knew came out. Like I literally saw them at the LCS and stuff, but they weren't on my shipment. Like it was still
Yeah.
saying processing, but they all ended up coming to, how it's still
A week or two
bi-weekly. So
later.
yeah, they all came
Yeah.
2 weeks later. Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll get my Savage Dragon, but if not, I didn't want to take a chance and not get
I
it.
know. I know.
There's certain books that I'll be like, "Oh, I'll just wait and see and then I'll pick it up," but something like Savage Dragon, I don't want to miss, so I
Yeah.
made sure I covered my ass there.
Did you
But
and Will cover? Are you reading, or did you buy Department of Truth?
yes, the conspiracy theory book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you read it?
I have not yet.
You and Bill should cover it if he picked it up one of these. It's really good. It was only the first issue, but really good.
The second one came out this week.
Yeah, I have it. I just haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
That looks great. I
Yeah,
definitely recommend.
I look forward to it. I like the premise. The artwork I don't care for. I have thumbed through it.
Yeah, it was. You know what I would love is there's a cover, which is the same cover as Something Is Killing the Children, number one, but
Yeah.
with a woman wearing the red dress. I would love that, but it's like a one for 100 or something, and it's like $150 on eBay. One of the LCSs here actually had a little. It wasn't an auction. It was just like a live Facebook thing saying, this one's up. Who wants it? Like first person to claim it at a certain. They said at 8 o'clock we're going to start doing this. They had it for 75, but I just can't justify spending $75 on a brand new comic book.
Yeah.
I would love it, but I'm not going to spend $75 on it. I spent
Yeah, their
10.
ratio, they're doing some ratio variants, like 1 in 10 and stuff like that, and it causes
Yeah.
it to go up in price because of demand, and there's not a lot of them.
Yep. Yeah,
So.
exactly. So, I mean, it's awesome. I would love to have it, but it's just not worth spending that much money for a brand new comic book. I don't care if it's, rare or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd
the other
rather, if I
thing
had
I
$100, I'd rather buy old comic books than a brand new comic.
yeah. Same here.
Yeah. More worth it to me personally.
Unless it's a key book or something.
Yeah.
The variants don't attract me unless there's like some awesome art that I just like it just hits me in the face and I have to have it.
Yeah, and I can understand that too, but like I love the fact that it like they're James Tynion is having them do parody or I guess not parody, but homage of his other independent series and stuff is kind of cool, but maybe someday if it ends up dropping in price, but I don't think they usually do. At least not far enough down that I'd want to spend the money on it.
I thought I owned the Spawn 311 with tribute edition, but I must have not bought the cover. I got the black and white variant, but it didn't ever ship to me.
Which one are you talking about?
The actor that just died that he
Oh,
did the Black
yeah.
Panther one.
Yeah, my LCS was nice enough to actually threw that cover in my bag for me.
Yeah. I didn't order it. I ordered the black and white one, but the black and white, I guess, hasn't shipped yet, or they were shorted. I heard from one of those speculator sites that it was shorted,
Gotcha.
so I might not get it. But I'm not set on getting it. That was one of the things that I was easy at to add to my pull list. It was the Spawn variants. It was an easy one to add, so I could just get the McFarlane at the
Yeah.
LCS and the Mateena or whatever cover A is at at the other store. I mean, at DCBS.
Do you have a problem with your like my LCS I've been going through forever. I have constant issues with the covers, like the covers. They give me the, let's say they've given me the A cover forever, right? So
Yeah.
I go into DCBS and like for example, like the X-Men covers, I ordered those timeless Alex Ross covers on
Yeah.
at DCBS. Then all of a sudden I go and visit the store and they hand me my bag and it's all the Alex Ross covers instead of the regular A covers. I'm like, are you kidding me? So then
But
I have
do they have the A covers on the shelf or
they
no?
didn't have anything on the shelf, but I mean, I've been there for so long, and like the owner's son, like me and him talk all the time. Well, it was me and the owner,
You
but
should ask
talk all the
him.
time. So I asked him, and he went through and found the covers for me. But
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but the guy Ed knows me like pretty well, and like if I say cover B or cover A, he knows that that's what I want. Like
That's good. The guy
he
that they
doesn't
have
give me
the
it
window.
unless the only time he'll pull something that like I didn't order that's a cover is when it's damaged and he's like, well, I didn't know if you wanted to miss the story and I don't know if I can get replacements, so I put this cover in your
But that's really good.
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if either one of them were doing the pull lists, it'd be fine. But they have, like a part timer or whatever, always doing the pull lists. It's just it can just be it's hit or miss with what I'm actually gonna get at any particular time.
Yeah, but it's tough to get a cover. Like, it's weird to have in your collection like an issue with an Alex Ross cover with no logo,
Right.
and then all the rest of yours have logo. You
That's
know what I
that's
mean?
the thing. I'm like, I gotta
It's
have
like
the A cover.
distracting as fuck. Like
Yeah,
I don't know. It just that anal retentiveness bugs the shit out of me.
So
The
that's why I'm like, I
non-uniformity of
appreciate
it.
it, but give me the A cover. And I, of course, I don't want to, it's I already ordered those B cover or the Alex Ross covers
Yeah.
through CBS, so I don't want two of them. You know what they did do for me this week, though? I went in and they gave me they set aside one of the Eastman covers for Last Ronin.
Oh,
So
yeah.
I grabbed that one. That was pretty
Was
cool.
that a cover B or what?
It is. It's a yeah, the B cover. It's a retailer incentive cover. I don't know how many they got, but they got one or if they got more than one. I don't know what the
Yeah,
ratio.
that came in for me. I heard they sold out pretty much everywhere too.
Me too. I heard the same.
Do
Very
you
interesting.
get Ninja Turtles normally or no?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, yeah, so do I.
How is Peter Laird involved with this? Just did he just help with figuring out the story?
I think they came up with the idea together, but Eastman's the one that ran with it.
Okay.
They've sort of reunited, like they weren't speaking at all to each other. And then I don't know if you saw
Of course, the toys that made
the
us.
Toys That Made Us, but they were reunited again, and
Yeah.
I think this came out of that. I really do.
I do too, because didn't they hint that they were going to try to do something
Yeah, they
in that
did.
episode? Yeah.
I think that's what this is.
Yeah.
So the fact that they talked, I think, is good.
Yeah, even listen, if he's not interested in being involved day in and day out, or even at all anymore with creating Turtle Comics, that's fine. I mean, it's his prerogative, but it's just a shame for two people that like worked together creating this property for so many years to not even speak anymore. So I'm glad they're
Yeah.
doing.
Of the two, I think, I mean, based on what I know, I think Laird is much smarter.
Yeah, he
Because he made more bank. Like he knew how to. Eastman was a little more careless. Like he's like, I'm gonna fucking buy a tank. Like
Yeah, they hinted at that in the thing, right?
it's like he was just nonchalant and threw his money away. Like there's creators that I think are smart. In other words, they were raised. I want to say raised right. Like they know that they're not gonna always be in the limelight. and that you need to save money and do stuff for a rainy day. And then there's the others that, oh, I want to live this lifestyle as long as I can. And they abuse their money, and then they don't have any when things go, you know. But I think Laird was the, based on what I've seen, is the smarter of the two financially.
Well, it seems that
Well, he's the one I think that made the bank out of the Nintendo deal. I mean, not Nintendo, Nickelodeon. Because
He
Eastman already,
didn't need to keep making comic
yeah,
books.
Eastman already sold his shares to Laird, and then Laird made the money. I think that's what made sour grapes between the two of them. But they did everything right. Like it, there some things like Ninja Turtles and Walking Dead are is like they're one in a million. In other words, they just hit when things are right, and there's a lot of other comics that do try to do what they do, and they just don't hit at the right time or don't catch the right buzz or don't get
You're right.
marketed right.
But and you never know. You can't predict that stuff either ahead of time at all. Like there's just no way to know. That Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles would be anything more than some sort of a little cult black and white comic that came and went. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
Just
that
such a
documentary
silly
though, that
thing.
w I think that guy, the guy that put their stuff in public eye that they talked to in that documentary, I think he's the one that oh they owe a lot of credit to.
Yeah, you could be right.
Because that guy didn't even have a job. He just like he knew who he had to talk to. He knew that this was a big thing, and he knew how to market it. And they lucked out getting that guy, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And you don't ever hear that guy's name, but that just goes to show that if you have the right marketer and he can push it to film and he can push things to toys and he does all that heavy lifting for you, then that, you know, that's good. Their job well done.
Oh, 100%. I mean, like you said, I mean, how many properties have been created and just come and go, and or that are even big, but they're a flash in the pan,
Or
you know?
even better, like there's a lot of stories you can read and say, well, wow, this is awesome. Like, how come this never hit? And it's just not at the right time. I mean, there's a lot of good comics that hit around the time of the industry going down the toilet, and
They never got their
people just
chance.
they never got their chance, and people just had to move on to something else because the market was gone and they weren't making money anymore. Yeah, so yeah, it's weird. I can't believe how much some of them made, though. Holy shit. Listening to that Rob Servations and how much they were paying, and there he was saying that one guy could ink so fast and draw so fast that Jeff Matsusa, that he was paying him like thousands a week because he was so fast. Like he was, and then he was living at his place for free. So imagine if you're making a couple thousand a week and you have no, you don't have to pay room and board. That's insane.
Well, but I mean, and like you said, I mean, it has to do with the whole like how the industry was in the first place, because it had to be in a position where Liefeld could afford himself to pay people thousands of dollars a week.
Not just that, buy a house for these people to live in and not even rent to them. Like, be able to afford the house payment and not have to and let them live free.
Yeah, exactly right.
That's incredible.
It is. That's pretty cool. Well, that's
Yeah,
all I got for this time. You got anything else you wanted to talk about?
no, I think Thank Joe again. This is
Yeah.
a good batch of books.
This one's for you, Joe.
Yeah. We'll call it the Crawford edition.
Exactly.
All
Good
right, we
stuff.
can wrap this one up.
Sounds
Your
good.
Twitter handle's at Rob Krieger.
Ah.
I actually followed you just the other day.
Yeah, thanks for following me. That was
Yeah.
nice.
Remember I told you a couple weeks ago that I used to type at Rob and it would fill in stuff,
Yeah.
and then it started to put it would put Rob Liefeld
Thank you.
there,
Yeah, I do
and
remember.
it wouldn't fill in your name. Well,
Oh,
it turns out somewhere along the line, Twitter decided to stop following a bunch of people for me. And I heard that happened to Aaron Myers too. And I
check
like
mine to make sure mine is still good.
yeah, I only lost a handful though. I don't know what where it happened, but a couple of people I noticed because the smart fill-in wasn't
Yeah.
working. And yours I couldn't figure out. I'm like, why can I not find your name? I would have to literally spell it out. Like, usually the autofill happens b before I hit the K. Like,
Yeah.
and I'm like, it's gone.
That's
I
weird.
better follow Rob. He's cool. I better follow Jay Garrick.
That's right.
Yeah. So join me in following at Rob Krieger on Twitter. I started just last week.
So far, you haven't regretted
Yeah.
it.
I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. You can follow us at geekbrunchpodcast.com and also on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. And thanks to Joe again for giving us these great books.
Absolutely.
And where did like I just realized, I've been collecting comics my entire life, and well, like I'm well read and I'm well aware of the market and what's comes out, but I swear you'll never stop learning from this market. Like you'll ne there's always somebody that knows more than you.
And that's part of the fun. It's
Yeah.
like you still can be surprised after all those years.
Yeah. I just got caught up on Hawkman for my other podcast. That
Oh,
that's been in pretty incredible.
it's been great, hasn't it?
Yeah, and that last issue, man, it's sort of game changing. Like I don't know I don't know if they're gonna change it, but they did something that can change the last 30, 40 years of Hawkman, in my opinion.
Where, how far did you read up to?
I'm caught up.
Oh, okay. I still have one more to read. So whatever came
But
a couple of weeks
you're
later.
aware that the space he's lived many lives across space and time, right? And you're aware of what happened with that god, or well, the Lord of, I forget what they call him, the Lord of something.
The
But
dance, I think.
yeah, the outcome of that was something big.
Yes,
And
it was very big.
you read the Justice Society issue, right?
Yeah, I did.
Well, the one thing that's fascinating about that, at least in my opinion, is that they chose that timeline to go back to.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Of all the timelines and everywhere they've been, they chose that to go back to.
It was
And now
very
there's
interesting.
the threat that they, well, I don't want to give it away, but there's the threat that things can happen to them.
Right. No, I know that, like, the only thing I haven't read is issue 28.
Yeah. Well, you'll be surprised.
Oh, that's cool.
I
I
mean,
think
I think 29 is the last
the
issue.
last issue, I think so too, yeah. I think you're right.
But there's he just writes it well. Like it he understands the Hawkman mythos. He understands the friendship between Adam Strange, the Atom, and Hawkman. Venditti just, he's kind of like comes from that Geoff Johns mentality. In meaning that like continuity matters and everything that happened, even though I might not like it, it's still continuity. And I like writers that do that.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I don't think I had noticed. I mean, he did Green Lantern for a long time, but I didn't see a lot of that in there. But he's really taken advantage of that with everything going on in Hawkman. And yeah, I totally see that type of writing. Like you said, very much that this is, let's take everything and let's play with it. And he's doing a great, he did a fantastic job. I'm sad that, I mean, I'm not surprised that, it's ending, but it got almost 30 issues, and I mean, that's pretty good for Hawkman.
Yeah. And then the other thing is like they launched with Brian Hitch. So he's kind of a big writer. But I will say that Fernando, what is his name? Passerin? That guy can draw, man. Holy crap. He is badass. Like I am so impressed with him.
Very good.
He's phenomenal with the layouts because he knows like when to zoom in and when to zoom out. Like he just, oh man, is he good.
Yeah, I agree.
And even the villain, that Lord of, I kind of, you say it's chaos, but I want to, or did you say death? I can't remember
No, I
what you
said the
said.
dance, the Lord of the Dance.
The Lord of the Dance. He's gonna start doing that Irish dance, but the way he draws him is amazing. Like it is pretty incredible.
Yes, he's really, really good.
And that Sky Tyrant arc was really good
Yeah.
because, like, I'm not caught up on the infect. This is how far back I am, but like the infected, I didn't know that like. The Joker Who Laughs sort of infected a lot of these people.
Oh.
Like Blue Beetle, Shazam, and Hawkman. But that turmoil within himself, like fighting himself, was a damn good arc.
It was, yeah, it was. It really was.
And then bringing back Hawkwoman in it was fantastic.
Yeah.
'Cause she is just badass. Like you always think Hawkman's like the Wolverine of DC. Like he's got the badass attitude, he's got the fury. But I swear, man, when Hawkwoman's pissed, like there's nothing like a woman scorned, man. She makes Hawkman look like a lightweight sometimes. She's like, she is a warrior. She is like the Red Sonja to his Conan. He's just like, she is badass. Damn.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty incredible read. See,
Yeah.
I read that and I wasn't totally in the mood for it. That was like a have to read for the show. And it really clicked with me. I was like,
Oh, gee, that's
wow.
good.
Yeah, that was good.
You
I
got,
like.
are you and Kyle recording tonight, or
Yeah,
that's
we're covering Hawkman and Tales of the Green Lantern Corps.
Oh yeah, I saw you reading some of
Yeah.
those. That's cool. Very
That's the
nice.
first appearance of Necron and Orisa, and a lot of the Green Lantern Corps appeared in
Yeah.
that.
The ones that we have seemed like we've known forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, a lot. It's a Chronos story, really. The one guardian that decided he wanted to uncover the secrets of the universe, and they're not supposed to want to do that. Yeah. Where's Dunkin' Donuts today? How come you didn't go to Dunkin' Donuts?
I did, but with the falling back and stuff,
Yeah.
I was, it was,
You were
I
up
felt like,
earlier?
Yeah, I was up earlier.
You're like, I can't sleep now.
No, I got up. I read some comics. I came downstairs, hung out with the kids for a little bit, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go to Dunkin' Donuts. Got back at 9:30.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
And then you were like, let's start early.
Like I'm here.
Yeah. I wasn't quite ready because I needed to do my I needed to feed Harley and then do the microphone check and the recorder check. I always test those out before I go live.
Better
So
safe than sorry.
I don't say we're recording and we're really not.
Yeah.
All right, you have a good one, Jay Garrick.
Thank you very much,
Yeah.
Mike. Enjoy your Sunday and tell Kyle I said hi.
I will. I'll
All
talk to you
right.
later.
Bye.
Bye.